I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. One from Molly Hemingway, Should the Media, Kavanaugh, Joe Biden. Another from Pastor David J. Weber, What's Wrong with Online Communion? Soundbite number three comes from Dr. Albert Mohler, The Importance of Inerrancy, Inspiration, and Infallibility of Scripture. And finally, soundbite number four, Lyman Stone, The Difference Between Lockdowns and Social Distancing. We're going to play them for you. Then your votes will decide which of those four will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can send us your vote via email right here in the studio. We'll get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can also send us a vote via Twitter, at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number one this week comes from Molly Hemingway. We were talking with her about the disparity in the media coverage of the accusations made against Brett Kavanaugh long ago and the accusations made more recently against Vice President Joe Biden. Here's Molly Hemingway. Should the media Kavanaugh Joe Biden?
Not at all. Joe Biden absolutely deserves due process, as does anyone else accused of a horrific crime. And that's one of the, you know, issues here is I think you don't see people pushing to destroy Joe Biden's life simply because a woman has made a very serious allegation. A lot of Americans genuinely believe in due process. They understand that anyone can make an accusation and that the burden of proof is on them to show that this happened before you destroy someone's life. The problem is that was thrown out the window by our media and other partisans during the Brett Kavanaugh situation. And I get the feeling they think we're all going to forget it. Like, they did what they needed to do, and we're all going to forget it and move on. But what they did really was evil. And it's not about whether you like Brett Kavanaugh or you think he's a great judge or justice or whether you would or would not like to see him on the court. It is evil to try to destroy a man simply because you don't share his politics. And a lot of people know that. And the media really should repent and apologize for what they did to him, and they should reform their behavior. I'm not saying I expect them to do that, but until and unless they do it, they should not be given all the privileges and benefits that they have as media people until or unless they apologize for some of this bad behavior.
That's soundbite number one, Molly Hemingway. Should the media Kavanaugh Joe Biden? If you'd like to vote for that one on this Friday afternoon, April the 17th, just give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote for it at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number two comes from Pastor David J. Weber. A lot of Christian congregations have been inventive with what they've been doing with communion on Sunday morning. Some of them have even tried online communion. Here's Pastor David J. Weber. What's wrong with online communion?
I think that some of the people who are suggesting this are doing so with good intentions because they do want to serve their people with the means of grace and to offer to them encouragement and comfort during these fearful times. So their motive is in many cases good, but they just haven't thought this through very well. They haven't thought through the implications of what this means for the nature of the sacrament, and quite frankly, they also have not thought through the implications of this for our concern over open communion. Because just think of it. If my consecration that is going forth on a webcast is a powerful and effective consecration, this would be true not just for the members of my church, whom I have told to put bread and wine in front of their computer monitors while I do this, but this is so for everybody. Anybody in the world, people I've never known, people I've never heard of, who might presume to do this. I would then become somebody responsible for consecrating a sacrament for people who are not under my pastoral authority, people who may not be Christians, and who would thereby be receiving the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner to their spiritual harm. So this is a terrible idea. It violates the very nature of a sacrament. It violates the very nature of pastoral oversight within the sacrament. And I think well-intentioned pastors, if they think this through more clearly on the basis of the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions, will come to realize that this is a very bad idea, and indeed that it is not actually a valid sacrament.
That's soundbite number two, Pastor David J. Weber, What's Wrong with Online Communion? Vote for that one on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, via Twitter at issuesetc, or send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Dr. Albert Moeller. It's the importance of inerrancy, inspiration, and infallibility of Scripture.
Unless Christians remind ourselves constantly that when we're reading the Scripture, we're hearing God speak, the classic Christian formula, when the Scripture speaks, God speaks, then we're going to kind of intuitively just see the Scripture as one more voice to add to the mix. But, you know, true Christians can never see the Word of God as one more voice in the mix. It is, as Luther said, norma normans non normatum, almost my favorite Luther quote. It's the norm of norms that can't be normed. I just could not more enthusiastically say with Luther, I want to affirm, it's the norm of norms that can't be normed. If you allow any other voice as if it's on par with Scripture, then we're doomed as Christians. We can't possibly be faithful. But Christians are those who start out with the fact that there is one voice we hear, and it is the voice we must hear when we hear no other voice, and it is the voice of Christ, the voice of the one true and living God in Scripture.
That's soundbite number three, Dr. Albert Moeller, on the importance of inerrancy, inspiration, and the infallibility of Holy Scripture. Vote for that one, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us your vote via Twitter at issuesetc. Now get ready to vote. We're going to play soundbite number four. Then we'll take a break and start taking your phone calls, your email, your tweets, and your votes at our Facebook fan page. Here's soundbite number four, Lyman Stone, on the difference between lockdowns and social distancing.
Lockdowns generally have three characteristics. First is that you're ordered to stay home, or you're required to give an explanation for why you're leaving your house, right? So there's actually a stay-at-home order of some kind in place. Second is they ban assemblies above a very low threshold. Third is that they involve forced cancellations of a large number of businesses. But there's a lot of stuff that we would call social distancing that is not about lockdowns at all. Things like we say, okay, restaurants can stay open, but only four people to a table, and you've got to have 10 feet between each table. That's not a lockdown. The business stays open. You have to change how you do business, but this is not a lockdown. Telling a church you can't have Easter services because no more than five people can gather, that's kind of a lockdown. But telling churches you can have services as long as there's 10 feet between every family and everyone wears a mask and you have a detailed individual level roster of everyone who comes in and you have to record everyone's temperature as they come in, that's not a lockdown. That's social distancing. There's a lot of evidence that social distancing works. There's not a lot of evidence that lockdowns work. So I'm very much in favor of social distancing. I think it's very important. And a lot of social distancing measures are going to be very draconian and very unpopular. But lockdowns, where we enforce these things, require people to stay home, force businesses to close, where we simply make no allowance for voluntary compliance, that's too far. And there's also not really any evidence that this actually helps anything.
That's soundbite number four, Lyman Stone, on the difference between lockdowns and social distancing. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And our Twitter address for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, @issuesetc. So what will it be? Molly Hemingway, Should the Media Kavanaugh Joe Biden? Or Pastor David J. Weber, What's Wrong with Online Communion? Dr. Albert Moeller, The Importance of Inerrancy, Inspiration, and Infallibility of Scripture? or soundbite number 4, Lyman Stone on the difference between lockdowns and social distancing. Your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week are next. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're beginning to wrap up our journey through Hebrews. The Lord's discipline, striving for holiness, you have come to Mount Zion, exhortations, and Jesus Christ the same forever. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
More topics, more guests. More Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you. Good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, Facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
I know what's wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact. You got to vote. Everybody needs to vote.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have played the 4 soundbites for you from Molly Hemingway, David J. Weber, Albert Mohler, and Lyman Stone. Now it's your turn. Your phone calls, your email, your tweets, and your votes at our Facebook fan page will determine which of these will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Just give us a call and phone call voters get to vote first. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. When you vote, we need to know who you are, where you're listening, and most importantly, why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. 1-877-623-6943. Martin in San Mateo, California says, Dear Issues, Etc., Jeff Todd et al., hello from the foggy San Francisco Bay Area. Foggy in terms of the weather and foggy in terms of the mental fog after being in lockdown since March 16th. As to soundbite of the week for April 17th, they are all great. Molly is absolutely right about the injustice done to Justice Kavanaugh. She is a jewel. Thanks for her work in our generation. Dr. Albert Mohler is absolutely right about Christians needing to hear the Bible as the unnormable norm. This reminds me of some banter among friends with Dr. Norman Nagel present. They were trying to figure out where he stood in ranking the norma. I said I thought he was norma secunda. That is the second standard for many of his students, since many saw him as a theological authority, and rightly so. He said something like, no, no, no. It is norma remivisa, a standard that needs correction by other norms, norma normata, and the ultimate norma normans, pure Nagelism, says Martin in San Mateo, California. Pat in Michigan says, I'm voting for soundbite number 2, Pastor Weber. I can sense the urgency of Pastor Weber's voice that pastors get these things right when it comes to the distribution of God's gifts. As much as we would want and desire the sacrament for ourselves, this is nothing unusual in the history of time. People have had to wait for the sacrament for various reasons. Example being, when a missionary goes into a new area where there are few pastors available to properly attend the people over that large area. Thank you very much for that vote, Pat, and thanks for listening in Michigan. Lowell in Napoleon, Ohio says, "My name is Lowell. I have been a Lutheran teacher for 44 years. I like what Molly Hemingway pointed out, that the media should be careful in what they say. In my classroom, when we study the Eighth Commandment, the phrase, 'and speak in the kindest way,' or when I learned the Eighth Commandment, it was, 'put the best construction on everything,' sometimes the media, politicians, and all of us should look at before we make a public statement. Yes, we should be slow to speak. Sometimes the media and politicians come across as, 'put the best destruction on everything.' When we sling mud, we lose ground. We all need to be accountable for what we say and do. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, death, resurrection, and ascension." Lowell, thanks for listening in Ohio. David says he's voting for Lyman Stone soundbite number 4, "The Difference Between Lockdowns and Social Distancing." This is a highly informative soundbite that shed light on whether we're responding to the coronavirus in an effective way. Scott listens in Indiana. He was torn between soundbite 2 and 3. "Pastor Weber is absolutely right about the fact that you can't have closed communion over the internet. I'm going to go the 3, Dr. Moeller, because he's so right. Far too many people make God's word just one of many voices. It is the only source of truth to answer Pilate's question and everyone else's. I vote for 3, says Scott. Michelle listens in San Antonio. Michelle says, "He's risen, he is risen indeed. Hello, Issues, etc. My vote this week is for the soundbite, Dr. Moeller's importance of the inerrancy, inspiration, and infallibility of Scripture. His talk reminds believers that when we read or hear the Scriptures, we are hearing the actual Word of God. It is easy to confuse the word's meaning when we listen to those in the world who obscure the word for their own interpretation, and not always intentionally. Even Christian-based philosophies and apologetic work can be misleading, as they are man-formed. Remember, sola scriptura, sola Deo gloria." May you all have a peaceful weekend. Well, thank you very much, Michelle, and thanks for listening in Texas. Another voter says, "Mr. Stone is very helpful in conceptualizing a real-life distinction between lockdowns and social distancing. We have been in lockdown more restrictive than any in the USA, I think, since March 16th. So we know what it's like. Pastor Weber talks about the issues surrounding telecommunication. I agree 100% with his concern about telecommunion being invalid as a sacrament, that it violates the nature and proper use of the sacrament, that it violates the practice of closed communion. Since we have LCMS and other pastors that are trying out telecommunion, this is the issue du jour, and thus my vote is for Pastor Weber's soundbite. I live in San Mateo, California." Thank you very much. Talitha listens in Perryville, Missouri. "Hello, Pastor Wilkin. My vote goes to Molly Hemingway for her discussion regarding should the media Kavanaugh Joe Biden. No political event has affected me the way that the Kavanaugh nomination process was played out. What the left-leaning mainstream media and many elected officials in Washington did to Judge Kavanaugh and his family was evil. When Mrs. Hemingway states that the mainstream media should repent, apologize, and reform, she is correct. But they will not. And yes, many privileges and benefits they enjoy should be removed, and at least very limited. Due process is the standard for which every individual who is accused of a crime is granted. I'm grateful for Ms. Hemingway as a beacon of truth and good during the Kavanaugh nomination process, and continues to be. To ask and expect the left-leaning mainstream media to repent is appropriate. Till they do, I have chosen to tune them out, turn the channel, and remove myself from their, quote, newscast. Continue to speak out, Molly. Many Americans and fellow Lutherans depend on it. Thank you, Issues, etc." Wayne listens in St. Louis. Wayne says, "The sincerity and gravitas of Pastor Weber and Mrs. Hemingway was palatable and really gave passionate commentary to the issues at hand, which I appreciate. However, only because a family member posted a quote by the Dalai Lama this week on Facebook as a voice on par with and even superseding that of Christ, my vote is for Dr. Moeller. The Dalai Lama was quoted as saying, 'My simple religion is our own brain, our heart is our temple, the philosophy is kindness. the norm of norms that can't be normed may not get as many likes. However, truth is abundant life. Thank you, Wayne, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Here's Randy in Rio Verde, Arizona. I was torn between the sound bites of Molly Hemingway and Pastor David J. Weber. They both make excellent points, but I have cast my vote for Pastor Weber. I admire his courage in discussing such difficult subjects and holding the church accountable in this area. Catherine listens in St. Charles, Missouri, voting for soundbite number 3. My favorite soundbite, I love the norm of norms that can't be normed. It reminds me of how advanced Martin Luther was for his time, and it reminds me to continue take in his holy scripture as God's holy words to me and to us. Scripture isn't one more voice to add to the mix. Love it, says Catherine in St. Charles, Missouri. William says, I am William, and I am voting for soundbite number 2 from Pastor David J. Weber and Online Communion. Of the 4 soundbites, it was very relevant to some of the difficult decisions Christians are trying to make, and it's also something my church in particular is having to deal with. It was also a very meaty soundbite, and a lot of information was packed into it. Megan listens in Russellville, Arkansas. Hi, Todd. I really like the statement from Lyman Stone on the difference between lockdowns and social distancing. It seems like this is a distinction which is not commonly made, but it's clear that social distancing can indeed be very helpful, as well as a way for us to love our neighbors, while lockdown seems to be doing more harm than good. Putting safety measures into place is one thing, but in most cases, forcing a shutdown won't help anyone. Anne listens in Sussex, Wisconsin, voting for soundbite number 2. The issue is so pertinent for today's situation. I appreciate the explanation, and I have no idea how to broach the subject with my friends. Bill listens in St. Croix Falls in Wisconsin. He says, Hi, Pastor Todd. My vote is for Molly Hemingway. In the realm of politics, it's important to keep our principles, and especially as Christians, it might feel good to return evil for evil and treat our enemies with the same injustice that they have treated us with. But doing this would damage the credibility of our justice system, endanger our souls, and disregard our Lord's command to love our enemies. According to your votes this week, the winner of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is soundbite number 2, Pastor David J. Weber. What's wrong with online communion?
I think that some of the people who are suggesting this are doing so with good intentions because they do want to serve their people with the means of grace and to offer to them encouragement and comfort during these fearful times. So their motive is in many cases good, but they just haven't thought this through very well. They haven't thought through the implications of what this means for the nature of the sacrament. And quite frankly, they also have not thought through the implications of this for our concern over open communion. Because just think of it. If my consecration that is going forth on a webcast is a powerful and effective consecration, this would be true not just for the members of my church, whom I have told to put bread and wine in front of their computer monitors while I do this, but this is so for everybody. Anybody in the world, people I've never known, people I've never heard of, whom I presume to do this. I would then become somebody responsible for consecrating a sacrament for people who are not under my pastoral authority, people who may not be Christians, and who would thereby be receiving the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner to their spiritual harm. So this is a terrible idea. It violates the very nature of a sacrament. It violates the very nature of pastoral oversight within the sacrament. And I think well-intentioned pastors, if they think this through more clearly on the basis of the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions, will come to realize that this is a very bad idea, and indeed that it is not actually a valid sacrament.
That's the winner of Soundbite of the Week this week. Soundbite number 2, Pastor David J. Weber, What's Wrong with Online Communion? Thanks to everybody who voted for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Catherine in St. Charles will get the LPR bundle package if you'd send us your mailing address and your shirt size, talkback at issuesetc.org. Speaking of communion, and in particular closed communion, I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. If you've ever had a hard time explaining or even defending the practice of closed communion, I think this article will help you. We also have a Wittenberg Trail feature from Nancy Almodovar on the journey from Reformed theology to Lutheranism. It's all in the online, absolutely free Issues Etc. journal. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we'll send it to you for free. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll get an introduction to the book of Titus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll discuss bad Easter sermons with Chris Rosebro, and we'll continue our series, The Words of Scripture, talking with Pastor Will Whedon about patience. When we handle the Lord's body and blood, we are handling the holiest thing in all of the universe. We'd never want to mishandle it. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.